When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
Golf takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, yes. End zone, touchdown, yes. Detroit Lions!
Yes.
This game is yes. Over! Pack it up, boys, we're going home! This an opening night victory for the Lions!
Dan Miller, Lions Radio. It was overtime last night. We got a little bit of everything yesterday. A lot of sloppy play, what you'd expect in week one, but the nightcap delivered pearl, and the Lions offense eventually took over this game in overtime with a really nice drive, but that was an interesting one. I was expecting them to really come out gangbusters. They got their offensive coordinator, retained him and Bobby Slowick. They got everyone back. They've got this great offensive line.
Ben Johnson, same guy, same haircut.
But the offense was not what I was expecting from the Lions. I was expecting a well-oiled machine here.
How on earth can the offense do anything when they're all on the sideline watching Matthew Stafford carve up the Rams had 26 first downs. The offense would have been great. It was never on the field. Their DBs are so bad. They let up every single pass. The Rams just weren't able to score. For some reason, they dominated offensively. So I don't agree with that characterization of the Lions. The Lions are just different. They're going to be a run team, and they have the best running back in the NFL and a throwback. Jahmyr Gibbs is... I mean, there were so many plays where he was down and he just got those extra 2 yards for the first down. He is a secret weapon. I'm not worried about their offense. I'm worried about their DBs. How many passes did Matthew Stafford complete to keep them off the field? I feel like they gave away the game because they were up, 17-3?
Yeah.
They had the game, and then Jared Goff threw a dumb interception because he's not elite. And Matthew Stafford was just unstoppable. I don't know. It was a fluke win to me. Because I felt like Stafford should have won that game. I walked away and said Matthew Stafford was the best player on the field. He should have won.
Well, I walked away with two things about the Rams. Number one, are they going to make it through a season?
Oh, they're dead.
They can't stay healthy. Everyone keeps going down. This started in training camp. They lost more guys on the offensive line last night. And beyond that, Stafford was taking hits last night, too. Aiden Hutchinson was getting to Stafford. They mentioned it over and over again on the broadcast. But it felt like, to me, he's the toughest dude. That was like a late season kind of performance where you've got to hang in the pocket and you've got to complete these throws because everything around you is kind of falling apart. It's week one. Like, are we sure? Puka Nacua left the game last night, didn't return.
Two linemen.
I get worried for the Rams that they're just not going to have enough healthy bodies. You're right. Stafford was quarterbacking his butt off last night. Yeah, it was amazing.
But the Rams threw the ball 50 times, which is kind of weird. A lot of short passes. Cooper Kupp.
50 passes to get 20 points. That's not...
No. Well, they were... I threw out a stat at halftime. They had 13 first downs in the first half and had 3 points. It was...
deep red zone and turnovers.
Yeah, it was that. Exactly. You're right. But Cooper Kupp, remember that guy? He's back in full form. Oh, my God, is he good. I know Nacua is out, but it feels like the two of them are just going to alternate being awesome. I'm really not sure
if they can stay healthy, though.
But the Lions have a flaw. Their back four is not good.
Right. There's well, they're no starting a rookie back there, too.
Yeah.
Terrion Arnold.
But he's a first-round pick, and they had two pass interferences in the end zone. But, man, they have a formula with the run game. With David Montgomery, will pound it. Then Jahmyr Gibbs is the special sauce, a little thunder and lightning, if you will. I mean, they are to come away with a win and not play well.
Yeah.
Because Jared Goff was on and off, I think, throughout the game. And Jameson Williams emerging as a weapon, they're interesting to me. I understand what you're saying, like the offense didn't look perfect, but maybe you can win now. Nobody could pass the ball on Sunday. It was preseason week four.
It was crazy.
Nobody could. So maybe
and the amount of penalties. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If I see one more false start, I feel like I'm going to throw my remote through the TV.
Well, what's the lining up illegally? What's that called? Illegal procedure, whatever. Oh, God. The flags ruined Sunday, but honestly, most of them were good calls. I usually complain about officials, but everyone was grabbing and holding and tired, and the quarterbacks, nobody could even hit 200 yards yesterday. It was a sad day. I think the Lions will come away feeling good about themselves. The Rams would feel good about themselves, but everybody's hurt. It's going to be one of those seasons.
I hope not, because the Rams are actually very fun to watch, you know?
Definitely.
And that is a team that you and I believe both picked to make the playoffs this year. I did.
I
picked them to win the NFC West.
I think I came down to the Rams, and I'm not even going to say it, the Bears. I think I might have picked the Bears,
yeah.
But I'll double check that.
You might want to check on those gold jackets for this 2024 rookie quarterback class.
We'll get into that a little bit later. It's 1 week, Maggie.
I believe you said that they were going to be comparable to 1983 with how many quarterbacks they're going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Jaden Daniels looked good.
A little garbage time stat padding there.
Oh, no. He looked like a pro the second he walked on the field.
He can run. He can get them first downs.
He was actually pretty good in the first half. I just tell you, the Commanders just got a lot of penalties. He was balling.
balling. He played. He can run. He can definitely run for first downs. That's important. But, I mean, you got to at some point find your best receiver. That's Terry McLaurin, and they could not get him the ball. That happened a couple times yesterday.
That's because seven guys were running around with Terry McLaurin.
Maybe that's it. We've got so much to get to. We start things off with, if you missed it last night, maybe you fell asleep, maybe you're working weird hours. If you're listening to us this early this morning, it was overtime last night. Thank you, week one, because I thought the overtime rules were still left over from the Super Bowl. I thought both teams were going to get a possession, so bad job by me. Turns out if you score on the opening drive, you score a touchdown, the game's over, and that's exactly what happened with the Lions last night. And I thought it was more like a fatigue win.
Definitely.
You know, the offensive line for the Lions, you and I disagree. I think they're very good. I think they're probably the best in the league from side to side.
Maybe. I mean, the Rams did hit Goff a few times. There were some blitzes, too, that were part of that. I don't know. I didn't feel like Goff was comfortable back there.
Really? I mean, I don't know how much more comfortable you can get. You have one of the best tackles in Penei Sewell. You've got one of the best guys in Frank Ragnow. I mean, the fact that we know all these guys' names on the offensive line means they're pretty damn good.
You thought like Goff looked like in a pocket and in the zone. Like, it was very rare.
I did not think that he was in a rhythm, but I think the offensive line is a strength of their team. And I think that they showed that in that overtime drive where they were just ran the ball right down the Rams' throat.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that was the offensive line. Like, how many times was David Montgomery hit and just ran for five more yards as a running back? I think Gibbs broke so many tackles and got, how many times was Gibbs pinned behind the line of scrimmage and got a 4-yard gain? I see what you're saying, but Goff was 18 for 28 for 217. This might be the worst game he'll have all year. He is, because he's got so many weapons. He didn't even use Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta at all.
I know.
Two best weapons. It was all Jameson Williams. I feel like the Lions kind of are a powder keg in the sense their offense, as you kind of started with, can be much more explosive.
Yeah, and that's what I was expecting. I feel like the people who have who have the luxury of having all your guys back, basically your core and your offensive coordinator, like, you should look like you've all played together before a little bit more. I mean, not to be too overcritical, they won the game. Yeah. But like, I'm watching teams around the league getting used to new offensive coordinators, getting used to new left tackles, getting used to new number one wide receivers. And you could tell that it looked choppy. I thought the Lions were going to look a little smoother, but again, they win the game. So I'm not going to nitpick super crazy.
Not to get too global, but a lot of teams were playing takeaway. Like, the Rams kept them off the field by tons of short first downs. Like, and the Cowboys did that too. Like, tons of short first downs. Yep. Like, if you can keep the ball in your hands, you're going to neutralize the other quarterback. So I think that's a little bit of what happened with the Rams' short passing game. The Rams, I don't totally understand why they never hit many explosives. Like, where were those?
Well, I think it's because Matthew Stafford was like, you know, he did a great job, but he was under duress.
He hit 34 passes. At a certain point, I would think the Lions would start creeping up, and then you go pass them. But they're like, we're going to give you everything. And it turned out they were losing 2017 with time running out. I mean, They easily could have given that game away at home.
855-212-4227. We're taking your calls all morning long on what you saw from your team today. We're going to try to hit everybody. We have lots to say about every single game and what we saw from college on Saturday as well. So we've got a full show for you. If we're talking about winners and losers from the weekend, which is not a segment we're doing right now, I'm just going to raise my hand. This girl, big loser.
What
big
happened?
Loser. No, not my Buffalo Bills. They won. We'll talk about them later. Big loser this weekend, me.
Why?
I thought I was 2 hours away from pay dirt.
On what?
I lost a bet to you this weekend, Pearl.
Oh, that one.
And this one's going to hurt. Not sting. This one doesn't sting. This one's going to hurt. And when I mean hurt, I mean how the level that my stomach is going to have to expand to try to eat all the waffles that I now have to eat because Dak freaking Prescott signed the biggest contract in the history of the NFL 2.5 hours before the season started. I thought I was home free. I thought if he doesn't sign before the season, before the game kicks off, then he's not going to sign during the season. He's not going to be the Cowboys quarterback in the future. You're going to lose the bet. You're going to have to go to Waffle House and sit there for 24 hours. Yeah. You're the one who's going to have to eat all the cheese omelets. And I was going to be just sitting on Easy Street. And then the news comes down from Schefter. And when I tell you my stomach dropped because my stomach knows what's coming.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be torture.
No, it's not. It's waffles, Maggie. You don't have to eat something disgusting. You have to eat one of the best foods there is.
Okay, but I'd rather eat 4 bites of tuna jelly with green olives in it, and then it's over. I got to sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours, and for every waffle I eat, it takes 1 hour off of the time. This is like a torture chamber. I've got to be there all day.
It sounds awesome. Get a book, some book? Syrup. Yeah, just sit there in the booth.
Who reads?
It sounds like an amazing time. First of all, you have a young kid at home. You're going to get a break. Sit in Waffle House, talk to nice people, eat waffles.
You think they're going to let me go to the Waffle House alone? My kid's definitely going to want to come.
He could, yeah, but he's not going to sit there for 16 hours.
He sit there for 16 minutes.
I'm pegging you for 8 waffles to get down to at least 16, 16 hours.
Do you realize how much waffles that is? I'm putting down like 4,000 calories of waffles. More. 6,000. What am I talking about? 4,000. That'd be a scot-free. That's a Sunday. This is bad. And you win, so congrats to you.
I had this bet won twice because if the Cowboys didn't sign him, they definitely would have overpaid next offseason. The way the Cowboys are, they were going to give Dak Prescott a lot of money. Once again, the Cowboys' strategy of waiting too long and overpaying, I mean, it's as consistent as anything in the NFL.
Well, congratulations. They look great yesterday because the Browns are awful. Look great yesterday.
I don't know. I don't want to overreact, but that Mike Zimmer defense with that talent level, but Overshawn, oh my God, where did that guy come from? I know where he came from, but I don't know if that was on the Browns. That might be the Cowboys are nasty on defense. Micah Parsons, he was not quite TJ Watt level, but he was good.
Yeah, but this is the perfect kind of game for him. He's great. Now, I'm not going to, of course, he's awesome, but this is a perfect kind of game for him because you're playing an opponent who's trailing the whole game.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was 33-10, right? 33-10? 33-17, pardon me. It never felt that close.
Oh, well, yeah, the 17 wasn't real.
No, that's not a real number. The Cowboys were dominant. Well, Cowboys, we have a lot to get to on that game.
Almost 50% of his dropbacks got to Watson. That's crazy. 1 out of every 2 times, Watson was under full pressure.
It looked it. Turns out he doesn't handle that pressure quite well. Because against pressure, Watson, 5 of 17 for 22 yards. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, no offense, but there's not a single quarterback alive who would have been able to quarterback the Browns yesterday. Both tackles were gone. They were not blocking the Cowboys at all.
You're right. And honestly, again, we've covered a lot of ground here in this first 13 minutes of the show, but what's Tom Brady looking at? When you're praising Dak Prescott.
He's pondering. Excuse me,
you're praising Deshaun Watson. Praise Dak Prescott. He deserved it. He had a great day. Signed 240 million?
40.
240. He's making $60 million a year and then goes out and wins week one. Good for you. Dak, good day. Me, bad day. Tom Brady praising Deshaun Watson. I didn't get it. What is he looking at out there? He's Tom Brady and I'm me, but I didn't see it.
I don't know if he was praising him the whole time. I mean, definitely his pre-show notes said praise Deshaun Watson. I don't think he praised him at the end at all.
But he's like, yeah, now he's getting into a rhythm. I'm like, getting into a rhythm. Game's over.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny. I came away. Yeah, Deshaun Watson was bad, but like that's the least of their problems. Like they can't. They need an offensive line. Like what happened?
Both tackles hurt.
Hurt. I mean, they were. There's no chance they're going to be healthy for this year. Yeah. Anyway,
we've got so much to get to. We just dipped into what we saw last night. Overtime win for the Detroit Lions. They beat the Rams. We got a little into the rookie quarterbacks. Wouldn't exactly say it was a gangbusters day, and Caleb Williams looked rattled. And we got a little into the Cowboys. Banner day for them. They signed Dak Prescott to the big extension. He's the quarterback for the future, at least the next 4 years. And they got a resounding win in Cleveland. 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. We'll get to you early and often. We still have Pittsburgh to get to. We have more Cowboys to get to. We've got everything in front of us on this Monday. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff. All right, everybody. This is serious. Sports fans, you got to listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. So that's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game and it's yours. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research, Perloff, by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and Real Fit products. You got men in your life. You care about them. Get them screened. Encourage them to get screened. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We are sifting through the wreckage of week one.
Rubble.
So, I mean, I had an incredible loss bet. I just still can't believe what happened there. And the quarterbacks were generally awful, but it's kind of also preseason week four. I got that vibe in a huge way last night and all day long on Sunday.
Which was the worst bet you lost?
Well, the Titans. I couldn't believe. In that situation, they're up 17-3 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Teams in that position were 61-1-1 against the spread in that exact spot. It took an imaginative, creative set of plays by Will Levis to lose that game. Because the Bears, if he had kneeled every play in the second half, the Titans walk away with a win. But instead, miraculously, he decided to do that. It's a new coach. I feel bad for this guy, but Levis is going to sink him hard because the defense is really, really good. They put a ton of money into it, and they're still going to win 4 or 5 games.
Can we just hear what this looked like? Will Levis with this ridiculously ill-timed interception led to a pick six for Tyreek Stevenson, and just pay close attention to the color analyst. It's actually Mark Sanchez kind of calls it in midair.
On 3rd-and-6, here they come. Gordon's coming. Levis gets wrapped up.
No.
Flings it ahead. It's picked off. Tyreek Stevenson will give the Bears the lead on another defensive play.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Mark Sanchez done that before. Been there before. Oh, no. That was before he even threw the ball. He's like, oh, no. Don't do it.
I mean, can you come back from that lack of situational awareness? Is it done for him? I know that sounds so ridiculous because I just said it's preseason week four, but I have a bunch of friends in Nashville and they're like, this is bad.
Well, the fact is, like, he lost you the game. A lot of circumstances lost you the game. The Bears defense was playing well, but it's not like Caleb Williams was doing anything.
Honestly, should have taken a knee and just put it in Caleb Williams' hand. That was the best thing that could happen to Tennessee. Amazing loss.
Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. We're trying to pack a lot in today on this Reaction Monday. Josh is in Pennsylvania, has a question about the Rams lost in overtime last night. What's up, Josh?
Hey, we didn't use Corum a single snap last night. What in the world were we thinking if we're going to draft him in the third round, at least play him a handful of snaps?
Interesting. That wasn't my big takeaway because Kyron Williams was your leading rusher, 18 carries, 50 yards with a touchdown. I mean, he wasn't like explosive. I'll give you that. I guess I didn't think about that, Perloff. Blake Corum getting a no snaps yesterday.
Okay, so I was too tired and missed it. I was actually reading the box score today.
Yeah.
And I saw, for some reason, was there a Hail Mary or something that Blake Corum got into the game? Because I saw him with a defensive snap.
Oh.
Double check this. Maybe there's another Corum.
I don't think there's another Blake Corum.
Hold on. Vamp for a second.
Yeah, there is. He is in the box score with one defensive snap.
What would that have been? Because the Lions didn't have the ball last. They didn't throw a Hail Mary. Why on earth was Blake Corum on there on defense? Help us out here.
Why was Blake Corum out there on defense?
I didn't recall that, but was it like a special teams play? Maybe like on a punt return or kick return?
He's not the only guy who's out.
Yes.
Rivers was special. Also out there for defense.
Oh, duh. Of course it's special teams. Does that register in the stats? I guess it does.
I don't know. Bogus, do you know that?
Or he was on the field for it.
For a kick return?
And yes.
So that's defensive. Okay. Well, he touched grass, Josh.
Well,
he had a tackle. That's what it is. You have to have a tackle on special teams to register defensively, and he did. So there you go, Josh. I mean, isn't that how you envision the guy who single-handedly won the national title? He's going to be a special teams ace.
What's hope? What's hope after last night?
Could have used him against Texas over the weekend, Josh. Thank you so much for the call.
But why
everyone wishing he had stuck around for another year.
Why do you need? You had 26 first downs on the game. You dominated. They could not get you off the field at all. So why do you even need Blake Corum? To be honest, you had Matthew Stafford carving them up all night long. He was dominant. I don't know how they only got 20 points. It still surprises me. They need an explosive element. There was, look at his stats: 34 for 49, 317 yards, one touchdown, one pick. But they had the ball for 35 minutes to 25 minutes in regulation.
No,
they should have won that game.
Stafford is great. You nailed it a couple years ago. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. You're absolutely right about that. I think people appreciate him now more than ever because of how tough he's always been through his career. And he stood in the pocket last night. I just don't think he's going to survive the season.
You're right.
If their offensive line, it's like you and me out there playing guard. That is not okay.
Yeah, and he's tough enough to stand in there, which is probably not a good thing.
Quickly, Ronnie's in Alabama. He's got some thoughts on tonight. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm a diehard 49er fan, but I want to say that I am nervous tonight. I don't know why I think the old man Aaron Rodgers has something to prove with the weapons that he's got and the awesome defense.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask you guys a question, and I'm going to hang up and I'll listen to the radio. Does he torch me bad tonight?
Ronnie, let's get the crystal ball out. Thank you for the call. I would be worried if I were you. This is a very good Jets team on paper. It's not just Aaron Rodgers. They have a lot of good players. They won 7 games with Zach Wilson last year. And to be honest, I feel like the whole thing with the 49ers, I know this is not like real football analysis, it's just been a weird vibes off season for them. I still think, I wouldn't be surprised if that Super Bowl hangover is still lingering in that building.
Yeah, I'd be surprised though, based on what we saw yesterday and based on what Nick Kassos told us on Friday, that guys who didn't have a preseason, quarterbacks, generally start out a little rusty. I feel like the Jets might make this an ugly kind of low scoring game based on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure this is going to be the full Aaron Rodgers experience. If I was the Jets, I'd run a lot.
Totally.
He might be a little rusty. So don't you feel like this could be an ugly game where both defenses are the story of the day?
I want to almost guarantee it's going to be an ugly game. Yeah. And the other part too is after watching some of the receivers outside of CeeDee Lamb, who really didn't have a training camp, but they were dominant. Dallas was dominant in their win against Cleveland. You know, Ja'Marr Chase didn't do a lot yesterday. I think even the wide receivers who didn't have a training camp, you're seeing those guys start a little slow as well. So, yeah, offensively, right. I don't think this is going to be that much fun.
Right. The caller said, well, Aaron Rodgers rip us up. I don't see that happening.
I think he's going to rip them up.
No, I think the Jets will be conservative. But, you know, I'm betting Jets tonight. Because of what you just said, I feel like the Niners, like especially Trent Williams, just coming back.
That's a good point.
There's a ton of reasons to think the Niners are going to be a little bit rusty tonight.
Over-under in this game is 43.5. So that's not a very big total at all.
Pretty low for two supposed Super Bowl contenders.
Exactly. So everyone's expecting this game to be kind of a tight one. San Francisco's favored by 3.5. I'm with you. I would take the points as well. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us this morning. What's up, dude?
Good morning, everybody. Those headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Dak Prescott got paid. Tyreek Hill put in handcuffs. Kirk Cousins, Will Levis sucked. The Bengals lost at home to the Patriots. But it all pales in comparison to receiving the answer to our biggest unanswered question. Kendrick Lamar will perform at halftime of the Super Bowl in February.
Wow, that was our biggest question. Tyreek Hill in handcuffs. We still don't know exactly what happened. We'll unpack everything we have on the Dolphins wide receiver. Very eventful pregame drive to the stadium.
Yeah.
But Kendrick Lamar.
Wasn't that a little early? Do we usually get the halftime performer on the Sunday of opening week?
Yeah, I got buried. I was surprised.
I did. I was wondering if somebody put it out there before they were supposed to, because I feel like this is a week 3 or 4 thing usually.
Somebody hit send on the tweet when they're like, oh no.
Yeah. I mean, also too, I mean, obviously Goodell chose sides between Kendrick and Drake. That's
surprising.
Very clear.
East Coast, West Coast, you know, Goodell.
A little shot of Canada there is what I saw. That was a power play by Goodell.
It's funny. Every single country in the world's getting a game. Canada, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And Drake, no thanks.
Yeah. It is funny. They're right there. They used to get Bills games, but not anymore. It's like, we're going to go to Brazil. We're going to go to Spain. We're going to go to Germany. We're going to go to freaking Abu Dhabi. We will not go to Canada.
They have gone to Toronto, haven't they?
The Bills used to go there. Yeah. That was a decade ago.
Yeah, EJ, are you excited? I know you're a big Kendrick Lamar fan.
Hugely excited. I mean, we're talking about our first solo hip-hop act for the Super Bowl, which is amazing. And it's incredible to me because this is the first time ever, obviously, where a rap beef led directly to a Super Bowl headliner. as great as Kendrick Lamar is, I don't think there's any chance he would have been picked had he not had this feud with Drake, which he won so decisively. So shout out to him and shout out to the hip hop culture for allowing this to be a possibility. Some fans are upset that it's not Lil Wayne, because Lil Wayne's, of course, from New Orleans, and that would have been a great moment. But to get Kendrick Lamar to this moment, all from rap beef, is just, again, whoever thought hip-hop would take it this far. Shout out to Biggie.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jay-Z is now in charge of the halftime show, so maybe that has a little something to do with it, right? But this reminds me of the Simpsons quote. Perloff, I know you're a huge Simpsons fan.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, stop, he's dead, he's already dead. It's like Drake, you know, he's dead. You killed him. You killed him in the beef. It was all summer. Every famous person who mattered picked Kendrick Lamar, and now he gets to do the Super Bowl halftime. Stop. He's dead.
When Krusty killed the Hamburglar.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
I'm trying to I'm wondering if we're actually going to hear Kendrick Lamar play Not Like Us, which was the number one hit of the summer and is a song about Drake.
You can already bet on it, by the way, that yes, he will play that song.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so too. But I mean, again, going back to history, have you ever seen a diss track performed on the Super Bowl stage? I mean, that would be history as well. And I think he kind of has to, right? That's why he's there. That's the only reason why they picked him.
You don't remember 96 when Nas performed Ether at the halftime of the Super Bowl? I'm just kidding. Tom Petty was that year. Bogus, what else is going on in the world?
Actual football, a pretty wild first Sunday, ending later than planned in Detroit.
Goff takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, end zone, touchdown, yes. Detroit Lions,
yes.
This game is over. Pack it up, boys. We're going home.
That's Dan Miller, Lions Radio. Follow him to the exit. Detroit finally winning 26-20 over the Rams late last night on David Montgomery's one-yard run halfway through overtime. The Lions winning after wasting a 17-3 lead. They needed Jake Bates's 32-yard field goal with 17 seconds left just to force extra time. Dan Campbell relieved to be 1-0.
You know it's not going to be perfect. You just want it to be cleaner. You just want it to be cleaner than it was. That's all, even for the first game. But ultimately, it's always going to be about we got to get better. And whether we won or lost today, we got to get better. And we won, we still have to get better.
As for the losers, the Rams saw Puka Nacua exit with a knee issue, and they lost two more offensive linemen. Josh Allen did something to his left hand in the Bills' 34-28 come-from-behind win over the Cardinals.
We'll find out. I'm not quite sure. I'm not a doctor. But just kind of landed on it.
Yeah, jumping over a defender on his second rushing touchdown of the afternoon, and it's a quick turnaround for them, Bills and Dolphins, on Thursday Night Football.
Wait, will we get into this later, but Maggie, you think it was necessary for him to act like Superman all game?
He's going to have to do even more Superman stuff this year than he normally has, which I actually thought, I'm like, maybe Josh does win MVP this year. If he can stay healthy, maybe he does win MVP because it's going to look like he's the whole offense because he might be.
But I think you have to look skeptically at running quarterbacks. Like, yeah, I mean, can Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, and Josh Allen run at will all year long? I think at a certain point, like, this is what happens. If you run 10 times a game, you're going to get hurt.
No, I get it. But the first touchdown for Allen, he kind of lowered his shoulder because he was going against a corner. This time, it's Buda Baker. Like, I get why he jumped. I wouldn't want to take him on. And they needed every bit of Josh Allen. And by the way, the Bills should not even have won that game yesterday. Yeah. If I'm a Cardinals fan, I am sick. Absolutely sick that they did not call a defensive penalty on the final play of the game. The last two throws, definitely the last throw. Yeah. They should have had first and goal at the Bills, basically at the end zone with about 30 seconds left to go. You guys know I'm a Bills fan, but I am sick if I'm a Cardinals fan. They got 100% robbed. They should have walked out of there with a win.
Wow. Also, Kellen Moore could look right and see Marvin Harrison Jr. open by 30 yards circumference in the end zone.
He was a rumor yesterday. Yeah. That's not good for Arizona.
Help me out. Why are you not kicking everything out of the end zone?
I don't know.
I mean, honestly, the Bills lost that game. I mean, there's no way. The Cardinals didn't do a single thing on offense the entire second half.
But DJ Dallas returning the kickoff for a touchdown, and everyone's making a big deal about it because of the dynamic kickoff. You're absolutely right. They were saying Tyler Bass, the kicker for the Bills, was trying to get out of the end zone. The wind was so bad.
Oh, is that what
that
happened?
It ended up landing in bounds. So,
I mean, honestly,
again, you're the kicker in Buffalo.
Yeah, like once again, a little 13 seconds Chiefs vibe. Like you made it a game. He's a special team. And DJ Dallas isn't even that fast. I was like, catch that dude.
Let's quickly recap all this Tyreek Hill drama. As you probably know by now, the Dolphin receiver pulled over, detained by police just outside Hard Rock Stadium yesterday morning. Miami-Dade PD has put one of the officers involved on administrative duty while a full investigation happens. Teammate Calais Campbell says he was also put in cuffs after pulling over to help Hill. The SEC owns 6 of the first 7 spots in the new AP college football poll. That is something a conference has never done before. The 6 of them includes Texas moving up to number 2 after winning at Michigan. The Wolverines are now number 17. Here's one way to snap a 3-game skid.
Here's the pitch. Pavin swings. That's belted. Deep left field. Alvarez turns, locks. It's gone! A grand slam for Pavin Smith. The man has driven in 7.
The grand slam came after a 3-run homer. It was followed by a solo shot. So Smith had 3 homers and 8 RBI in 5 innings last night in Houston. He did nothing after that, but the Diamondbacks still won 12-6. They're now a half game behind the Padres for the top wild card spot, with San Diego losing to the Giants 7-6. And Yannick Sinner with a straight set win over Taylor Fritz in the U.S. Open final yesterday afternoon. Sinner becomes the 4th man since 88 to win the Aussie and U.S. Opens in the same year, while an American man still has not won this event since Andy Roddick in 2003. Guys, back to you.
And those were the only 2 famous people at that entire final. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else's timeline got a little taken over by...
What do you mean?
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were at the
I thought you were talking about Flavor Flav wearing a pink suit in the first row.
wasn't talking about Flavor Flav.
which you should have been. He dominated this entire U.S. Open. He was awesome. And the camera found him. Trust me. Every time I flipped over... I hate the U.S. Open. We could all agree that it's the first Sunday, week 1 of the NFL. Why are they not? Bogus, you're a big tennis fan. Wouldn't you have them move off that Sunday?
Well, they tried Mondays, and I don't think it worked.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Well, they had a couple rainouts several years ago, and it would get pushed to Monday. So they'd be playing like 4 o'clock in the afternoon before Monday Night Football. I don't think they love that. They finally put a roof over the stadium so that you wouldn't have rainouts anymore. You're going up against week 1 of the NFL. Good luck to you.
I mean, it's kind of like the hockey debate. Like, it just, the audiences are the audiences. Like, there's only so much, like, pushing and pulling and fighting you can do. Like, you can't play it at 9 in the morning. You can't play it Saturday night. Even the women's final isn't on Saturday night anymore because of college football. It's like, they just have to play it and let tennis fans watch it, and who cares about anybody else?
What if you moved it up a week, though? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I know, but then you got to move the entire hard court schedule and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I kind of disagree about the morning. Because everyone loves breakfast at Wimbledon. Am I right, guys? I know Ryan's getting up early for that.
No.
breakfast at the U.S. Open.
Breakfast at Wimbledon.
And you beat the traffic if you're actually trying to go. Because I think that...
Playing in your backyard.
Here's the thing: I think that casual fans would tune into this. Like I think that if it's a compelling story, if you had, say, Francis Tiafoe is a little more of a crowd favorite. If he had been there, I think you do pull in the casual fan.
Yeah, I would have watched it for sure in the morning, but I'm definitely not watching it week one of the NFL. If Tiafoe was there, that I would have been tempted to flip over a lot. And by the way, your girl. Tried really hard.
I know. Pegula. Jessica. Down goes Jessica.
I mean, she just was the worst player of the two. I got to work on
her. That's going to be a problem.
Because of the timing, I watched a lot of her. Her serve is eh. Honestly, I was like, wow, I think I could hit her second serve back.
It's just so weird when Buffalo loses a championship game.
I know. Thank you, Bogus.
No. She's a great story. She's really cool.
Yeah, rich kid does well.
Now, I just
I think she's
the
awesome.
The fact that her parents are NFL owners, famously, and that she's not, there's no silver spoon about her. Like, she's a hard worker. Like, that's the only reason she's there.
Well, you can't cut, that's not going to help you. Your parents being a billionaire helps with the training and all of that stuff, but when you're out there all by yourself, it's just you. I mean, no one's going to get you out of bed at 5 a.m. You've got to do that
yourself. Right. And she's more of a grinder than a talent player, I think. But wow, didn't see a tennis breakdown coming on the Monday after week one of the NFL. That's a problem.
And you started
Open. Yeah, because I know Maggie was a near professional level tennis player. She went to a camp where there were professionals. Am I correct?
And I got beaten by them badly.
And I know, Bogus, you claim to be a tennis expert.
Not a tennis expert. You claim to be a tennis expert because you watched it this year for the first time in 2.5 decades.
Everyone always says Bogus loves to tennis.
Love tennis. You're the one making tennis proclamations left and right on and off the air
last
2 weeks.
I played tennis as a kid.
I know.
Yeah. I was on the 7th and 8th grade team and played 1 year of JV in 9th grade and then said, nah, I'm good.
You're good.
JV tennis team?
Was that? Yeah, good question, EJ. Yes. Lower Merion High School did have a JV tennis team.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, that's not true. There's other schools. There's I'll find this. There's an NFL player who was a varsity tennis player. I saw this.
Once saw the defensive lineman for the Ravens. Who was the guy who was so good? Bryant McKinney. Once saw him on a tennis court. He was amazing. He got to everything. The guy's 350 pounds. Yeah. He was moving out there like he was Rafael Nadal.
You know what? He's the best athlete in the NFL. Let's redo last week's great debate. Put him in the mix. He could have been.
His ground strokes were beautiful. 855-212-4227. Okay, football. Let's get back to it. How about this? Atlanta Falcons had to go to a silent count yesterday in their home stadium because the Steeler fans were that loud. We'll break down everything else that happened, too, with Justin Fields under center while Russell Wilson has a calf issue. So much to get to. It's Maggie Perloff.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Now here we go, Steelers chant coming up as Cousins gets the snap. Looking, T.J. Watt gets there, and T.J. Watt slings him down. On the play that will end this game, T.J. Watt bows to the crowd, kicks up the leg, and finishes off this victory for the Steelers.
That was Rob King on Steelers Radio. This was a game that had a little bit of everything. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So the biggest takeaways here is T.J. Watt's amazing. He made life very, very difficult for Kirk Cousins yesterday. And Kirk Cousins' debut wasn't exactly gangbusters. It turns out, doesn't matter who the coach is of the Atlanta Falcons or the quarterback, it is really hard to get these skill players involved in a way where the offense actually seems like it can be explosive, even though there was one, I guess, really nice touchdown throw to Kyle Pitts. But with the amount of talent on paper, you'd think Atlanta should be way better. T.J. Watt had other things in mind, though.
Doesn't matter for Atlanta. All they have to do is get to that NFC South schedule, and they'll be fine. They could lose all these games. I mean, 9-8's winning that division. That's a fact. So I'm not so scared of that loss. I'm being honest. Big long term, this is doesn't really matter.
Okay, well, because they're going to win the division. Put up 47 yesterday. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And I saw the Bucs looked pretty good yesterday.
So I don't know when the Saints and the Falcons play, but not, you know, it'll be week 18 in the, yeah, and the Bucs, you saw the Bucs look good, but do you see any of those teams being elite? They're all, this division is stuck at a 9-8 winner. And I would not count Atlanta out. The Bucs played the Commanders, who gave away all their veterans in the offseason, and the Saints played the Panthers. So Falcons, I understand the defense. I mean, the offense looked clunky. Again, preseason week 4.
Yep. No Kirk Cousins had no preseason. Yep.
And T.J. Watt was possessed
he was
by the
amazing.
Devil. He had two strip sacks that were taken away because of penalties.
Did either you or I pick him for Defensive Player of the Year in our predictions? What's wrong with us?
Well, I think I picked Micah Parsons, who also made a case. I am going to go farther than Defensive Player of the Year. I think you have to consider him to be the first defensive MVP since Lawrence Taylor in 1986.
Wow.
Because he feels like a quarterback on the field. Like, you're like, who do the Chiefs got? Mahomes. Who do the Cowboys got? Prescott. Who do the Steelers got? T.J. Watt. He is that dominant, and the camera is on him the entire game, just like a quarterback.
Can he stay healthy for an entire season? We know 1-11 the Steelers are when he's not on the field. But he was on the field yesterday. He was disruptive yesterday. He was excellent. Now, the biggest thing about the Steelers, they win the game 18-10, I believe, was the final score.
Yeah, no touchdowns.
Yeah, no touchdowns. Great. Here's the thing. This was a quarterback battle that dominated training camp, and it was all about that. Well, we're not getting a resolution probably for some time. So Russell Wilson couldn't go because he had a calf injury, yet Russell Wilson out there, full uniform, full pads, and warming up. Like, oh my gosh, guy, tone it down just a touch.
That'll never happen.
I mean, come on. You're out there with the shoulder pads on. You were not playing. You were ruled out.
Let me introduce you to Russell Wilson, Maggie. This is the least surprising visual of the entire season. Of course he was wearing pads. And I did like the haircut, nice and tight. It looked good.
He's going a little bald on the top. But
wasn't he like technically listed as the emergency quarterback still?
Was he?
Like, isn't that a rule where the third quarterback can be inactive but also in, like, dressed?
Well,
just
but
in
that's
case?
Crazy because if he's not good enough to, if he's not healthy enough to play, he shouldn't be out there, right?
Yeah.
It's a good point. So Mike Tomlin, after the game, said he's not going to make a decision until Tuesday about who the starter is going to be. Justin Fields, the problem is, Prof, he's had these moments where the door has been sort of kicked open for him to go and just take this job. But I wouldn't say that he was dominant in any way yesterday. 17 for 23, 156 yards. He is good with his legs, 14 carries, 57 yards, but he didn't like grab a stranglehold of that job yesterday. It is very much alive for Russ.
Same old Justin Fields, just cannot. There's a mental block about letting it rip. There's a lot of plays. He had 14 carries, right? That's too many. He's got to just run the offense. I don't think people say he has trouble seeing the field. That's been the criticism. I honestly think that he just doesn't have confidence for some reason in himself to let it go sometimes. There were some plays where he could have thrown the ball and he just didn't. But that kind of works with Mike Tomlin's offense. And again, this is week one. He might get smoother. I didn't think Justin Fields was bad, but he just frustrates me because I'm like, you have a great arm. Just go out there and let it go, buddy.
I know. He did find George Pickens for six catches for Pickens for 85 yards, but the offense just doesn't move. Just doesn't move.
And again, partly by design. They had a lot of plays where they could have run pass plays where they ran the ball just to control the game. So I think Mike Tomlin likes to win. 18-10. I mean, on his grave show, that's gonna be Mike Tomlin won the game of life 18-10.
Yeah.
That is a perfect Steelers score. They wanted to keep it conservative. I think they knew they had Kirk Cousins' number. They could not block Watt at all. So again, if they needed to open it up a little bit, they might have gotten to 23 points or something, Maggie.
Let's hear from Justin Fields yesterday. He says the mindset was for him is to always stay ready.
I was just, I always just have the mentality to be ready. I've been in this situation before in my rookie year, so anything can happen. So I just always have the mindset of, be ready and, just be ready for anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a weird season. I think this is going to be a thing where this calf issue may just sort of linger for Russell Wilson, who's in his mid-30s, and this thing has plagued him since he literally did the conditioning test at training camp where he's pushing a sled, and that's where he injured the calf. And I don't think it's just going to miraculously get better. So I think you're going to see a lot of flip-flopping here, and Justin Fields is right. He better stay ready because I don't think anyone – I think it's going to be week to week, quite frankly, with this quarterback situation.
I don't know if there's the equivalent of blood spinning or some kind of Kobe Bryant move that Russell Wilson can do.
Can't get to Germany now. It's the season started.
I don't know. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce seem to be globetrotting every weekend. Why can't Russell
Wilson?
New York.
You can't get to Germany. You need the bye week for that.
Okay. Well, he's got to do some. Can't you put some kind of shot into that calf? Honestly, I said before the season I would play Russell Wilson because I think he can run a little bit more of the offense. I think it's really close. Either way, they're going to get, again, I said someone's going to win the NFC South at 9-8. The Steelers are going 10-7. It is just written in the stars.
I don't know about 10-7. I think the quarterback thing is going to be an issue all year.
Yeah, it was last year too. What was their record? I assume it was 10-7. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, but
what is different about the Steelers team, Maggie? It's been very consistent the last 5 years.
Kenny Pickett's not even a starter in this league anymore.
He's barely. He really even shouldn't be second string. He's terrible.
The other thing is Kirk Cousins going to make it through the season? He took a couple. I mean, obviously, T.J. Watt, we said, was in his face all day long. But yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Michael Penix because Kirk can't get away. Like, that's the thing about the Achilles. And Kirk was never fast anyway, but he's sitting duck back there.
Absolutely. Steelers last 3 years, 9-7-1, 9-8, 10-7. It's coming, Maggie. Mike Tomlin's streak cannot be beat.
Coming up, who had the best day amongst all quarterbacks yesterday? Give you a hint. Not only did he win his game, he's a whole lot richer. Get to the Cowboys next, Maggie and Perloff.